Welcome to this new week of programming here on Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. Dave Ball along with Crown CEO Chuck Bentley. And a little later in the program, we'll be talking with Scott Hosenbaugh. And Scott is the executive director for Shohanna's Hope. And he is also the national spokesperson for the Cry of the Orphan. And Chuck, I look forward to hearing from Scott in just a few minutes. But we have been witnessing unprecedented moves in the economy. And so before we get into our interview with Scott, bring us up to speed on our current global crisis.
Well, Dave, we called this time of prayer and fasting because we thought that this problem had indications that God needed to intervene. And we didn't see any national leaders calling on the Lord to say, you know, Heavenly Father, this is a huge crisis. Show us what to do. And they're still not doing it, Dave. And this crisis is beginning to get out of sight. I still cannot believe how staggering the numbers are. They're so large, they're becoming meaningless. You know, you just get up every day and you read of a new number. Is it $25 billion for this company or $50 billion? Oh, it was originally $30 billion, now it's $100 billion. And the numbers are just staggering. And you know who's paying for that? You and me, our listeners. Those are taxpayer dollars. One article estimates that besides the bailout dollars, that all of the obligations that the government has now guaranteed for various industries or through the FDIC or whatever means that they're guaranteeing all this debt is approaching $5 trillion. Now, I can't get my arms around that. All I know is that it is a bad move, and there's more and more people that are wanting bailed out, more and more companies, and it's a decision that's just adding a huge amount of burden to the U.S. taxpayer. And I'm very concerned that the original legislation, it now seems small, the $700 billion bailout, it was intended for what they called the TARP, the Troubled Asset Recovery Program. That was to buy troubled mortgages. And you remember when we had Rusty Leonard on the program, we said if you're going to buy anything, at least buy something backed by real estate. One day its value could improve. And then maybe the government would actually make money on it. Well, now they said they're not going to do it. What they're going to do is to put money into the protecting the consumer. They're going to backstop credit cards, auto loans, student loans, all this consumer debt. And the reason they're doing it is because they're desperate to get the economy going and their original plan wasn't going to work. They're trying to get the consumer propped up so we'll start borrowing and spending more. So, Dave, it's a difficult problem. That's why we've created the website Help, Hope, and Insight. And I hope our listeners will stay tuned as we walk through this time together.
Well, we'll take a short break. And when we come back, we'll introduce you to our guest today, Scott Hosenbaugh. You're listening to Money Life. We'll be right back.
You know, the Bible says to train up your children in the way they should go, and that includes teaching them God's way of managing money. But how do you make learning the basics about money easy for kids ages 3 and up? Try the ABCs of Money package from Crown Financial Ministries. The ABCs of Money package has two interactive ways for children to learn what the Bible says about money. First, there's the ABC Learning Bank. It has three detachable compartments made in the shape of the letters A, B, and C. Your kids will use one for giving, one for saving, and one for spending. The package also comes with the ABCs of Handling Money God's Way student workbook. Through an interesting study, simple Bible studies, and fun, hands-on activities, your kids will learn not only about money, but also some important things about God. Invest in the future of your children by teaching them God's way of managing money with the ABCs of Money package. It's available at crown.org. That's crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley, and I am so pleased to have our guest today, Scott Hosenbaugh, who is the executive director of Shohanna's Hope. Scott, welcome to Money Life.
Thank you, Chuck. Thanks for having me on. This is wonderful.
Well, we're always excited to be affiliated with the Cry of the Orphan campaign because at Money Life we believe that it is God who helps us to make money or earn a living. It's God who teaches us how to manage it wisely. And it's God who expects us to use those resources to fulfill His purposes. And certainly caring for the widows and orphans is a huge thing on God's heart. So we want to talk about that today and tell us a little bit about this campaign that you head up called Cry of the Orphan.
Well, this is our third year in executing the Cry of the Orphan campaign. Shohanna's Hope, Family Life, and Focus on the Family have joined forces in the last 3 years to really, as you said about what Crown does, this is really about stewardship. I think that's probably a common theme in this. We just feel like at this stage, for a time such as this, it's for all of us to work together. I think it pleases the Lord when we work together and speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, as it says in Scripture. So we just feel like we can, you know, all use our core competencies and our efforts to raise awareness and call Christians, both corporately and individually, into some commitment, because it's our mandate, as it's described in James 1:27, to care for orphans. So we just want to pool our resources and efforts and encourage people to discover what their calling is as it relates to the orphan crisis worldwide.
Well, Scott, we have many new listeners who maybe have not heard us participate in this campaign before, and they don't know the story behind Shohanna's Hope or the Cry of the Orphan campaign. But tell us the genesis of this effort. Where did it come about? How did God birth this?
It actually started 4 or 5 years ago at Family Life headquarters when Dennis Rainey and the team at Family Life's Hope for Orphans called together a bunch of leaders in this area to come together, pray together, and see how we can work together. And that was considered Summit 1. In Summit 2, a year later, realizing that we all have specific areas of competency, that we just started dreaming, what would it look like if we were to drop our logos and our egos and to work together and to point people to a specific call to action during National Adoption Awareness Month. And quite frankly, it's been historic because, you know, Focus on a Family and Family Life, with their broadcasts together, for them to carve out the same 5 days of the year to speak about this topic is unprecedented. So it's been exciting, and we're just getting started.
Well, tell us the need in the world. How many orphans are there, and what is the plight of an orphan today?
The need is incredibly vast. Statistically, there's over 130 million orphans, yes, million orphans in the world today. About a half million kids in our U.S. foster care system, nearly 127,000 of those waiting to be adopted. And it all ranges from, you know, HIV/AIDS, just there are economic orphans. There are so many social issues that exist around the world that, unfortunately, there's a lack of sometimes stick-to-itiveness, and because of no fault of their own, many orphans find themselves on islands of loneliness, trying to, you know, do the next right thing, and are crying out to God for to grow up in a family and to simply be loved. It's an atrocity.
Well, Scott, God's given me the privilege of traveling the world and seeing many orphans and meeting them and getting to hold them and to love them and to pray for them. And many that I have seen are what I call poverty orphans. I think you call them economic orphans. It's
correct.
They're there. They're being cared for by others because their family felt like they did not have enough resources to take care of them. And so at the root of the issue, many times, it is the way we handle money. It is a stewardship issue, as you say. But what about here in the United States? What's the situation for orphans here?
You know, not too different. You know, in Africa, there's a lot of HIV/AIDS orphans. We don't have that big of an issue in this country like Africa does. But what happens in the U.S. typically is that there are kids that parents relinquish their rights because they can't handle, you know, the stress of, you know, being a family. As you described, economically, they're not in a position to raise the child. Sometimes, you know, that's the brave thing to do, it seems, is to help this kid find a family that can. And we've seen so much. It's just so hard to isolate, you know, the one or two things as to why these kids are orphans and in our foster care system. But it all stems from what I believe to be just the sin in our world, sin in our lives that exists, not a specific sin that has caused this child to be an orphan, but just sin in general. When you kind of peel back and go to the root cause of all of this, I don't think it was God's design necessarily for there to be this many orphans, but God is certainly using the orphan to call the church into a specific action.
Well, what is that specific action, Scott? In other words, I know that God wants us to do more than just pray for the orphans, that there are some very specific truths in God's Word that tells us our role. What are those?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the call in James 1:27 to care for orphans is a very broad call, and it doesn't always mean that we're all called to adopt, although that is one specific call to action. Sometimes, you know, it's simply being able to help those that are called to adopt, maybe kids that are families that are foster parents or in the process of adopting a child. Maybe that family just needs help and support and maybe financial assistance. I think for many of us, you know, we all believe that the church today, these communities of faith, need to rally together, which is, you know, really lacking at this point in time. But we are seeing a lot more communities of faith sort of really dig deep into what their calling is. But at the end of the day, it's really about what is in the best interest for this child. And for some people, that might mean, you know, just mentoring them. There's a great need for mentors of children in foster care in the U.S.
Well, that's exactly right, Scott, and I couldn't agree with you more. You know, the Lord said in Psalm 68, He's described as a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, and He goes on to say that God sets the lonely in families. And I'm praying that today God may put on the heart of some of our listeners to get involved with Cry of the Orphan and to be that home, to be that influence that helps some of those 130 million children find a home to receive God's love and care. Well, you're listening to Money Life. We're talking to Scott Hosenbaug. I'm Chuck Bentley, and we'll be right back.
Having trouble keeping up with the latest job trends? Not sure where you fit into the marketplace of the 21st century? Well, let me introduce you to a revolutionary career assessment system based on the timeless truth of the Bible, Career Direct from Crown Financial Ministries. Career Direct is designed to help you maximize your God-given talents by focusing on the four critical components in career selection: personality, interests, skills, and values. Most other career guidance tools only analyze a couple of those. Thanks to cutting-edge technology, this comprehensive assessment can be completed in about an hour. And since it's online, once you're done, Career Direct will give you a thorough but easy-to-read personalized report. If you'd like to join the over 120,000 people who have already benefited from using Career Direct, go to crown.org. Find out where God intends for you to fit into the workforce of the 21st century by using the Career Direct Complete Guidance System at crown.org.
Welcome back to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. And Scott, when we left off, we were talking about specific things that the Lord says about caring for the orphans. And one of the verses that's dear to my heart is from Psalm 68, when He said He's a father to the fatherless, and that He sets the lonely in families. So certainly we have a God who loves and cares for orphans. He wants them to thrive. He wants them to overcome their loneliness. What can we as individuals do? If I'm listening today, and I were able to sit down with you and say, Scott, I want to make a difference. God's put it on my heart to use the resources I have, the capacity I may have to love another child or to support a work. What can I do?
Well, we created a website called Cry of the Orphan. It's cryoftheorphan.org. And what's really cool about this year's site is that we created what we are calling a recommendation tool. And simply answering some questions, which would then spit out at the end of that journey a list of things and organizations that might be able to help you and assist you in your journey towards discovering what your calling is as it relates to this particular mandate. We're an abundant country. We have a lot. And for those of you who aren't called to adopt a child, I just encourage you to rally around those that might be called to adopt a child with either resources or encouragement, obviously your prayers. And if you can't find one of those, go to your house of worship. Go to your church. and encourage them to discover what they're supposed to be doing and what their calling is as it relates to our mandate to care for orphans. So there's a myriad of things. Some might want to go on a mission trip and visit them and love them and care for them in that way. So, again, there's a lot of things that would constitute responding to the mandate of caring for orphans. And at the Cry of the Orphan website, we've created some tools to help you discover that.
Are there ways that churches can get involved, Scott? Are there specific programs that can bring awareness to this campaign?
Absolutely. You know, we encourage churches to preach on this topic, if not once a year, multiple times a year. Worship in a way that would honor the God that has adopted us. There are many organizations that are associated with the Cry of the Orphan campaign. The Christian Alliance for Orphans is an organization that we helped launch to actually work together and pool, sort of make sure we're holding each other accountable. And there are many of those organizations that churches could and should work with in order to help them further the cause within their church community. That's such an important aspect of that. You know, many pastors, and I think Rick Warren even said, the church today is one of the largest distribution networks in the world. And so what is it that's being distributed? Well, I believe it's the compassion that comes from God that we can distribute down to the orphan to help them realize their dream of being in a forever family.
Scott, have you seen some success stories that motivate you and encourage your heart?
Absolutely. I'm fortunate enough to be working in the field as the executive director of Johanna's Hope, and we have so many testimonies that come to us from us helping them adopt, and we're just one part of many people, one part of many organizations that help families come together. And you know, it's interesting. It's a real neat giving story. About a week ago, I was at the Stephen Curtis Chapman Michael W. Smith concert with Stephen in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And earlier this year, we had launched a Change for Orphans campaign. And it was really neat because God really got a hold of this 7-year-old's heart. And from what I was told by the mom, she could not sleep. She would, you know, night after night think about the fact that there are children, even children her age, that had no mom and dad. Well, I'm at the concert, and right before the concert began, in walks this little girl with a bag full of change, over $700 worth of change, that from the time God got a hold of her at the last concert earlier this year until this recent one here in October, she had raised $700. And gosh, what an inspiration that was to me, knowing that a little bit of change can help make a big difference.
Oh, that's a very inspiring story, Scott. You know, from the data that we've looked at, finances are one of the key factors that drive a person to an abortion in this country. They don't think they can afford to have a child. And it's also one of the key things that prevent people from moving forward with an adoption. So it's really a tragedy that money controls so much of our decisions to share our love and home and resources with children. But if there's a couple that's considering adoption, but they don't think they can afford it, what should they do?
Well, there's several organizations similar to Johanna's Hope out there that actually can help them in addition to us. But I really encourage them to take their steps in going to their local church and sitting down with, you know, probably most likely a Crown representative, right? Oh, don't you have Crown representatives around
the country? We do. I didn't think this was going to come around to us, but that's a great idea.
Well, I think that you go sit with them and help them lay out a plan as to how, you know, this can be possible. And really, truthfully, I think at the end of the day, we shouldn't let money stand in the way. And if money wasn't the issue, we have to understand God owns it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And he delights when we take steps of faith. And we've got countless stories of families that really had no clue where the money was going to come from, but all they did was step in faith, either got their church involved, got a little bit of help from maybe Johanna's Hope, a little bit of help from the Abba Fund, or a little bit of help from LifeSong, many other organizations out there doing adoption assistance. But at the end of the day, I really encourage people to not let money stand in the way and just take one step at a time, bite off what you can chew, and see how God would provide in the process.
Well, Scott, that is so inspiring, and it's been wonderful to have you on the program today. Thanks for being our guest.
My honor. Thanks for having me, Chuck, and thank you to Crown for their participation in this year's Cry of the Orphan campaign.
It is our pleasure. You're listening to Money Life. I'm Chuck Bentley. We'll be right back.
Running a successful business in this very challenging economy takes more than hard work and a business degree. It takes time-proven principles of leadership, decision-making, and people skills, and a coach to help you navigate these uncharted waters. Business by the Book brings the brightest minds in history to bear on the most important issues facing your business today. Business by the Book provides a step-by-step outline from God's Word on topics such as hiring and firing, pay increases and promotions, management team selection, and much more. Authored by well-known financial expert Larry Burkett, Business by the Book offers a biblical worldview to businesses of all types. Whether you're a startup or an established firm, Business by the Book will coach you through important decisions and guide you each step of the way from God's Word. Business by the Book is available now at crown.org. That's crown.org. Log on, order your copy, and begin enjoying the satisfaction of running your business by the book today.
Welcome back to this final segment of Money Life from Crown Financial Ministries. And Chuck, in this final segment, let's give our listeners some practical ways that they can be a part of helping with this plight of the orphans.
Well, I think a practical way, Dave, is to go to their website at crytheorphan.org and just learn all that you can. There you will find ways that you can get involved, ways that your church can help, lots of resources in case God's put it on your heart to actually adopt or support someone that is running an orphanage, all kinds of unique ways. And this is an issue that's on God's heart. It's very clear that the Lord promises His blessing to those who take care of the helpless, who defend the defenseless, who care for the widows and the orphans. And so I think it's a great opportunity to get involved and to do something. And I would encourage our listeners, if God's put it on your heart, go to crytheorphan.org and do something about it. You know, Dave, we talked about the tough economy in the opening of this program, and it is a tough time. I'm reading economic reports. I'm studying it. I'm doing all that I can to help keep our listeners abreast of what I think's going to happen. And my view is it's going to get very, very difficult. I don't think that's a pessimistic view. I think that's a realistic view. And we need to have a sense of urgency to get our house in order, but also not just to protect ourselves, but to be in a position to protect others who don't think we're going to be in a hard time, who aren't making plans right now, who don't see this difficult day ahead. So this is one of the areas where I think Christians can distinguish themselves. We can come to our senses, get our financial house in order, and be prepared to help others, including the orphans that may be all around us, the people that are going to need help, the people that are going to be devastated as the economy gets more and more difficult. You know, I also wanted to mention again that we created a new feature at crown.org called Help, Hope, and Insight. And it's created specifically for people who need to find resources in one of those three areas. Do you need immediate help? Well, we've got tools, videos, all kinds of things where you can go right now. Just go to crown.org, click on Help, Hope, and Insight. There's help available. We've got a section that's designed for people who need hope, who can take a little bit longer term view of dealing with their issues, but there are tools, resources, and videos there, and also insight. We're trying to keep people abreast of what's happening and where this thing is going. And Dave, as we've said before, these last couple of months of the year are the most important months for not-for-profits. Certainly here at Crown, 24% of our charitable contributions come in between November and December. They all come in before December 31st. So it's very important for us that our listeners be praying now and be getting prepared to support this work so that we can go forward with God's agenda and helping His people during this extraordinary time of need.
Well, if you've been blessed by the ministry of Crown Financial Ministries, I'd encourage you today to head over to crown.org, click on that donate button, and make a generous contribution. Well, for Chuck Bentley and the entire staff here at Crown Financial Ministries, this is Dave Ball saying thanks for being with us for this edition of Money Life.